Hello and welcome everybody to another Wine Stefan Brewery podcast, 1000 Years of Beer. My name is Matthias, international brand ambassador and brewer of the Wine Stefan Brewery, and I welcome you together with our online marketing manager, Anton. Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, good, thank you. Welcome everybody. We're here from the Wine Stefan Brewery, from the museum, and we have a very special guest today, and we're going to talk about a very special topic, which is probably one of the most interesting since we're doing this in English here and since we're doing this for all of our countries where we have fans. And this topic is our export, and we have the expert for export. And Matthias is going to introduce him now.
Yeah, he is the most awesome person in the world. He is fantastic. He is a role model. He is the most good looking and most great and ambitious person in the world. He is my boss. VP export and head of the export department, Markus Englert. Hey, how are you doing, Markus?
Hi, thank you for this nice introduction, but you know, the next pay rise or a salary rise is not today, but
he's just a normal guy, normal dude. Yeah,
but I'm really proud to be here today and to talk and chat with you about export and everything else.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited that you're here today, because you know, I'm working for you in your department, in your team, and it's a fantastic job, and it's for me an absolute dream job. But that I can have this job and that I can do that, what we are doing here together, is a lot of this is based on your work before. You're since more than 20 years in the brewery. So as a short CV from you, you're 51 years old. You're from the basically most southern point of Germany and Bavaria actually possible. You're from the so-called Allgäu, which is at the border to Austria.
For who didn't hear about Allgäu so far, it's around 20 kilometers from the Neuschwanstein Castle, which most of you might know. It's 22 years that I'm working for Wein Stefan, around 26 years that I came from my little house in the prairie to the big city of Munich. And you named it. I mean, export is a great job. It's a great job when you work for a great brand. And I think Wein Stefan, with the history and its heritage, it's a really nice place to work.
It's a little bit crazy to look back at that now.
Yeah, the 20 years. I mean, as I mentioned a couple of times before in my life, 1998, Helmut Kohl, the Chancellor of Germany, who was the Chancellor of the Unity of Germany, was still Chancellor at the time. Monica Lewinsky had her big appearance at the White House. And we still got our salary in Deutschmark here. So,
and I started school.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long time, which it doesn't seem to, because time flies and so many things happened every year. And, you know, it's fading away a little bit, everything, the story. But yeah, it was a really, really great time in that 22 years and more to come.
I can see it now, and a lot of the times we talk about this and your experience you made the last recent years, but you're really into this. And I saw it every time we were on some trips or meeting with partners or customers, that you're really, really living for this. But I was always like, I don't know. Can I do this for 20 years? And the more I do it, I can imagine it, actually. But on the other side, I started working in a brewery that is like totally... or not totally. I started working in a brewery where it was normal to export the beer because we are very export-orientated. I would say 60, 65%, something like that, is exported from our volume. But when you started, this was like basically in the beginning of all this. Yeah. So maybe tell us how this grew to that point where we are today. So how do you start with exporting beer?
So I actually really started with six countries that we were exporting to. And it was more or less only neighbor countries. It was the neighbors, Austria, Northern Italy. It was Luxembourg, Netherlands, Switzerland. So all this more exotic Sweden and really at this stage, United States as the biggest export area there as well. But yeah, I cannot really say there was a main strategy. We were approached quite often by foreign companies that wanted to import our beer, and then we went into the into conversation. In the beginning, the former director of Weinstephan said, "You can sell the beer everywhere, but not to Russia, so not to Eastern Europe, because I think there was still this this border or this frontier
East,
in the
West,
in the head,
Soviet Union,
a little bit like this. Thing. They're not paying us. They might cheat on us, or okay. They don't like us. So, but that changed with the new director, which came in 2000 to Weinstephan, and then the focus was very much in the beginning on export.
Mm-hmm. So, the six countries, you as VP export and. You built this up to right now 52, it's something like that. 50, we have 52, today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I already mentioned 60-65% of our volume is exported. I guess just a good educated guess, but I think we are one of the, when it comes to the percentage, one of the export strongest breweries here in Germany. So of course not in the volume, but when it comes to the percentage of what we are producing every year, I guess we are one of the most export-orientated and export-strongest breweries. But this does not come easy, I guess. I mean, I imagine, but I guess maybe you're just a natural talent that done everything right from the beginning, or where there are some things where you say, well, this was my first big fail, my first big mistake. Would you tell us this?
Yeah, it's so long ago, so I can
don't
easily,
mind anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, to be a natural flirt doesn't always help, because at this stage I had a strange get together on an Austrian trade show with some guys who came to us. It was shortly before the trade show stopped at this day, so people already had quite a lot of drinks, and these two guys were, they were looking for trouble, and they just came and said,
I guess they were drunk AF.
yeah, and you know, you always when it's getting close to the end of a trade show, people come and say, oh, I'm your customer, and you, I deserve another drink, even though the trade show closes. And I said, yeah, listen, I tell you a little bit about our brewery and our beer, and they said, no, we want to have t-shirts and gadgets and everything. And I said, listen, I mean, we are a brewery, we are not a company who sells t-shirts, and I mean, it was 4 days in the brewery, so
it was your fourth day.
Yeah. And I should have known our POS portfolio that we of course had, and we also had t-shirts. I didn't know it at the time, but they were so aggressive, and in the end of the day I said, listen, go to Walmart and buy a t-shirt, but here is the brewery.
Yeah.
And next day I got a really angry phone call from my boss at the time, and he said, hey, listen, the Austrian importer called me, and a really, really important customer complained how you treated him. And it was, he left us afterwards, but yeah, but what can you do? I mean, stick to your guns, and it was naivety at the time, but I think quite human.
Fourth day at a brewery, and because you don't want to offer another beer and t-shirts to some drunk folks that came around the corner. They left us.
Yeah, I would have offered them another beer, but not a t-shirt at the time.
So,
well,
so let's turn this thing all the way around. Let's go to the other extreme. Now that we heard about your big fail at the beginning, what was your big first win that you had at the brewery?
Yeah, this big first win ended up in a really good success story, which is still going on today. So in 2002, I got a phone call from a guy. I really couldn't see from which country he called because the number was so strange. Never saw it before. And he said, "Listen, I'm Igal Evan from Israel. We want to have your beer." And I thought, really, not another exotic country. And they were so going on, so consistent in contacting us, and they visited us, and then they started to import the beer to Israel. And we were the first German Hefeweiss beer in Israel, with the history of Germany and Israel from the past. A very special relation, and but it was love at first sight, and now Israel is our number four export country.
Just for all the listeners out there, what are the top three?
Number one is United States, number two is Italy, and number three is Austria.
Even you made this guy in Austria angry, they are still number three.
Still number three.
Maybe it was not that big fail.
Yeah. That's true. I mean,
well, it has been when you're only at the brewery for 4 days.
For 4 days.
I can tell you, I didn't sleep well that night.
It's a bold move.
But I guess you slept better after all this Israel thing went off. Because, I mean, it was also one of my first trips I did for you in the export team, visiting Israel in my first year, and it was still today one of my most amazing trips. I was in Tel Aviv, I was in Haifa, and met so many great customers. And we have such a big fan crowd. It's not just people liking the beer, they're just big, big fans of the brand and what we are standing for. And they love the Hefeweiss beer, they love the Vitus. And
Weinstephan is a sophisticated brand there. It's a sophisticated brand, but it's also a very sexy brand. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you see a wheat beer glass, they compared it to the shape of a female body. And they said it is a very, very sexy brand. We are really sold there in places where you could only dream of here in Germany, because it's bars, it's clubs, it's dance clubs, places where you usually don't sell Weinstephan. It's a really young brand there, and you know the age and the history and the heritage of Weinstephan and the hip appearance. It's a really great mix.
I guess so, and I always find it very, very fascinating when we are. When I'm possible to travel for the brewery and meet the different countries, the different people, how the people sees this Bavarian beer. You know, we have our personal side on this because of our cultural background and stuff like that, you know. But when you're going to another country like Israel or like Greece, Korea, United States or Australia or Japan, China, don't mind. It doesn't matter. All the different cultures, mentalities in those countries, they are reflecting a little bit on the beer and how they see it and how they pair it maybe to their food, to their local food, or to their cuisine they have. And this is something really, really what amazes me, how maybe, like you told, people in Israel are approaching to wheat beer, complete different way than we here would do it in Germany. And that leads me to a question. How difficult is it to make this bridge, you know, from east to west, like from Asia over the Middle East to Europe and the United States? and over all these countries, over all these different cultures, mentalities, people, food, whatever, to sell the same product?
I think the character, the cultures and the mentalities can be very different from areas to area, even from country to country, or from one country inside the country. It can be totally different, but the love to beer is always the same. I think Weinstephan has such a great message. We are not standing as a regular imported premium beer, and we are not have the standing like a national domestic craft brand, but we are somewhere in between. We have a high appreciation by consumers that we never would think about. But the love to beer is the same, but you, as you said, I mean, making deals or business in Asia is totally different than in the Western world, for example. Dealing with problems is a different story. But in the end, we're talking about the same product, and that's beer. And that leads always to some kind of agreement.
Well,
connecting people.
Yeah. Connecting people.
Weinstephan beer, bringing people together since 1040.
We heard that slogan, connecting people, a long time ago. But when you talk, Marcus, about having the love for beer all over the world, it's the same all over the world. The beer is a pretty emotional product. Does that make it easier for you to sell the product, or do you think it's probably the same like any other product?
No, definitely not. It's not only the time or the place where you sell beer is different to other products, but it's also the emotion. I mean, you have the greatest conversations also with customers when you have a beer together. This connecting to each other is easy because you talk about business not only in a meeting room, but you also talk about business very casually during your talking about your families and your sports or your favorite music group. And then this is doing business without talking about business. And this sticks, connects people together, me, our customers, and this is what's so special about it. The emotional part of the product beer is very special.
So this bond that you create between our partners overseas or in other countries, that's something that ties you together. And that's do you think that this may be the reason that we have so many partners, or we have had so many partners for so many years now, that that we stay with them and they stay
right
with us?
Like Italy, 50 more
years,
than 50 years with, yeah, Italy, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Continuous partnership with the same importer, right?
Yeah, yeah. And in Austria we have one which is 50 now.
In Vorarlberg.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That is exactly it. I mean, the product, the beer, is really important, but in export, you know, you're so far away from each other. You have to have faith in the other partner, and also you have to be reliable, because you have to help someone who's 5,000 kilometers away. If he has a question, don't wait 1 week to answer. Be there for him, and very important, also go there and visit him, because we have so many people coming to Weinstephan anyway, but go also to his market. Let him show proudly how he built up the brand and the market for Weinstephan. And I think this is this interaction between people that helps extremely.
And that leads us pretty much to the next question, because when we talk about export and when we talk about the world, we can't avoid the topic of 2020 with the Corona crisis and all the fuss that is going on about COVID-19. How difficult is it for you to maintain all these relationships while you're not allowed to travel? I mean, you have been to South Tyrol a couple of times this year when it was allowed, but traveling is not possible right now in large or in
international
scale. Internationally, yeah. And How difficult is it for you to maintain these relationships then?
I mean, very hard. A video conference or a phone call doesn't replace, don't replace a personal meeting or when you're together with someone. And yeah, it's really sad. I mean, you still do it, but all of us hope that this will be over at one stage, but we can rebuild. I mean, we're not afraid or worried that you have to build everything up from scratch again after this, because we have a strong relation to our partners, but also the brand of Weinstephan is very strong. So I think that when borders are opening again and it's possible to travel again, you don't start from zero. And yeah, but as you said, it's hard when you're sleeping 120 nights on average per year in a hotel bed and are around all over the world, and then you got stuck in your home country. Yep. I mean,
I could have imagined that you say at one point more than 20 years traveling for the brewery, like you said, 120 nights a year abroad. You're at some point annoyed from traveling, but you aren't, right?
You have to love it. You have you have to love to travel and also to meet new people. If you don't do that, if you don't like that, it's a totally wrong job.
You can't do it.
And I would have stopped probably 1 year after I started.
Yeah, well, I like to travel too, because you know, spread the word about this amazing brewery and this amazing place. I mean, I came here from Austria more than 15, 16 years ago to Weinstephan to study here, to work here. Now I'm basically stuck here because I love this town of Freising. I love Weinstephan, the university, the brewery. As a brewer, it's like, you know, the best way you can, you know, be in your life. I mean, it's the center of the international modern brewing. Yeah. Not just of the world's oldest brewery, also with the university and everything around us. The world's biggest hop growing region is here. Steinecker, one of the world leading technology leaders in brewing equipment, is here. So this is the Silicon Valley of brewing, actually. But I also appreciate it every time I come back here. You know, this is, I like to travel. I like to go to our customers because these are amazing people and amazing times. But on the other hand, I really, really enjoyed coming home.
I mean, you need a home base, that's for sure. And the home base is also Bavaria for me. It's my family, it's my wife, it's also the brewery. I mean, to be here in the headquarter, this is where everything started. I mean, this is where Weinstephan was founded. This is where the beer was brewed for almost 1,000 years. This is where my colleagues are. This is really, I mean, if the brewery asked me, do you want to go to Bangkok for 3 years, I would rather say, no, I'd like to stay here because I can travel to all these areas, but my home base is here.
This is the end of part one. Thank you for listening. Part two is also online. Have fun.